Janie Lee Grace. Welcome to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show on UK Health Radio. We're talking workplace well-being, and I'm really pleased that my guest is Jo Permal from Wellness Professionals at Work. Jo, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm great. Great, thank you, Janie. Nice to be here talking to you.
Yeah, really good to chat to you. So I've come across Jo's work, and Jo was in fact one of the winners in our Platinum Awards 24. And I really love the stuff that you offer, Jo. It's a fantastic way of being able to offer people the opportunity to have a diploma, have some training, to learn, you know, to learn how to be a coach and to learn how to do this stuff effectively. But let's take it just kind of right back to, let's have a look at why you named your, you know, gave your business the name you did. So let's have a look at the whole well-being in the workplace issue. From my perspective, I'll just share with you first that I co-wrote some books a little while ago called Stress to Calm in 7 Minutes. And there's one for lawyers, one for teachers, one for nurses. Mm-hmm. And when we did the research for those books, oh my goodness, I was not prepared. I was not prepared. They were not, the replies to the surveys we sent out were anonymous. And I was not prepared for what I got back. The level of burnout, you know, literally people on the edge of burnout, unbelievably stressed, sobbing on a Sunday night. You know, I mean, of course, I'd expected to get, you know, have a few nurses telling me their job was stressful, you know, of course. Mm-hmm. But I had not expected it across the board to the level I saw it. So what's going on?
Well, I think that's probably a fair reflection of working for some people, that it is incredibly stressful. Now, a lot of people are waking up to knowing what they will and won't tolerate within the workplace. And the more and more we have these conversations about what we will tolerate, what we will accept, and the more that well-being is higher on the agenda, the less we are prepared to put up with and recognize that our well-being suffers if we're not working in a safe space. And that safety can mean not just physical safety, but also psychological and emotional safety in the workplace. So I, having worked as a teacher previously in school, I completely understand, you know, those survey responses would have been how they were, because it can be like that.
Yeah, but that's an interesting example then, you see, because one of the things that came up, particularly for teachers, was the level of kind of, if you like, bureaucracy around everything, the amount of paperwork they had to do, the amount of box ticking they had to do, and they really just wanted to get on and work with the kids, which they loved that part, pretty much all of them. But the what they were being expected to do in addition to what they trained for, if you see what I mean, was the exhausting part. So it's a bit of a two-part question. I suppose what I'm saying is, you know, you say we need to discuss what we'll tolerate and what we won't. Is it a case of there's always been a massive load of stress in the workplace, but we didn't think we could speak up before? Or is it genuinely that it's hugely increased, as with these teachers needing to, you know, several of them said we have to be on red alert the whole time for the call from Ofsted, you
know? Well, I think if we were having this conversation 4 years ago, it might be slightly different to where we are now post COVID. I think COVID has really enabled us to see well-being as a form of currency and a form of worth that we all attribute to our own lives, and it is something that we value much higher than we would have done pre-2020. I think that work is stressful if you're in an environment that has targets, whether that be schools with, you know, exam results, or NHS with so many number of people that you have to see. But I do think I think that's one element, but I also think another element is that people who work in those environments are naturally caring, supportive people who really want to work to improve the well-being of their client base, whether that be children or patients. And actually, this level of bureaucracy that is thrown at them really goes against their personal makeup and their constitution. So I think there's a whole load of things there. I don't think we could say it was one or the other. And so yeah, that there's so many different strands going on there. Targets, money, lots and lots of different things that can attribute to this. But I think one of the things that I love about the courses that we do and the work I do is we're helping to pe helping people build up their own resilience. And resilience coaching is a big part of what I do. We have courses in resilience work. And so training people and supporting people to not only support the resilience of others within the workplace, but also build up their own personal resilience as well. So there's so many different layers to this, Jamie.
Yeah.
The station that makes you feel good.
Start your day the right way with Revive Active's range of super supplements and get the most out of life. Take one power-packed sachet, mix with water, and enjoy a super tasty health drink at work, at home, or on the go. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to optimize your health and well-being to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, and more. No filler, no stimulants, no artificial colours or preservatives, just the right mix of vitamins, minerals, amino acids and hero ingredients to help you put back what life takes out. Try our 7-day or 30-day boxes and use code UK Radio to get a free supplement shaker. Revive Active, super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What do you mean when you say resilience? What does it really mean?
Well, lots of people say resilience is the ability to bounce back. And I really don't like that expression, because bounce back from what? Normally when we've had an experience where we need to be resilient, it's an experience that is really entrenched within personal growth. So maybe that's something like an operation, a life transition, something where we have evolved. We've had a wake up moment or something like that. And then when we go through that moment, we don't want to come back as the old version of ourselves, because that old version of ourselves doesn't necessarily fit our new values. So resilience can be actually stopping in the moment and acknowledging what we've been through, having the courage and the vulnerability to talk about what we're going through, and really looking at ways of acknowledging how we're feeling and feeling safe to talk about that as well. So there's a lot to personal resilience out there. But that, like I said, that idea of bouncing back doesn't sit comfortably with me as a human being.
Yeah, no, I get that. And also, I suppose it includes the ability to be able to set boundaries. You know, now I used to think that, you know, when I was still drinking, particularly, I used to think that people who had good boundaries were just mean, quite frankly. You know, if anyone said no, I mean, you're just mean.
Yeah, you know? No, I get that. Yeah. And saying no is really hard. And it's something that a lot of people feel they feel very uncomfortable doing it. I know as a woman in middle age that I now feel comfortable with saying no, but it's part of an evolutionary journey that I think we go through when we hit perimenopause, menopause, because we recognize that actually when we say yes to everything, what we're doing is we're not only being unkind to ourselves, but we're actually being unkind to others, because we're not allowing them to take personal responsibility as they should be. And that's why I love coaching, because it really enables us to take responsibility for ourselves and allow others to reach their potential by you know, allowing their own responsibility to step in.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. And I had a client, interestingly enough, just very recently, who'd had a lot of pressure in the workplace. She had actually kind of burnt out and had to take time off, and it was really difficult. She managed to get herself back on track. She stopped drinking. That was what was going on in her case, and was able to kind of get herself well again. But then when she was needed, you know, to go back to work, she was very aware that if she didn't set some boundaries, literally, would all absolutely same thing would all happen all over again. You know, she was already starting that to feel that level of anxiety. So she was able to come up with, you know, some boundaries, a plan that she was able to share with her, you know, boss or whatever the expression is. And be really open and honest about, well, this is what I need. This is what is needed for me. And is that going to work for you? And can we find a way to make this work? Because this is what I need. And actually, in her case, it actually went down brilliantly. And I got the impression from what she told me that her her boss was incredibly grateful to have seen that piece of feedback, because without it, she maybe wouldn't have known how employees were feeling or being able to step up our own game, right?
Yeah.
So that knowing yourself what's needed is it's really key, isn't it?
It is really key. I think having the courage to say what you need, it takes a lot, doesn't it? It takes a lot to really stand up. But part of that responsibility is in those who have responsibility for well-being within the workplace, whether that's in education, NHS, corporate. Having somebody to be a good wellness lead or well-being lead, they really need to be asking those questions. And one of the things that I've found through running the school is that a lot of HR departments will have a well-being lead, but if that well-being lead is really just somebody who lays on a yoga class once a month, that's not really about well-being. Yeah. It's people who are in those roles who are having these kind of conversations and really allowing someone to meet their own personal responsibility and have the space to discuss how they feel, what they've got going on in their lives. Talk about, you know, anything from stress to how they deal with anxiety to how they react to challenges, you know, the targets that are being set. That is proper well-being. That's really focusing on that, because if your staff can't talk about how they're feeling and feel safe to do that, then that's not a company that values wellness.
Well, that's very interesting you say that, because you know, I don't know enough about the corporate world to know to what extent that is in place across many companies. But really, my experience of any of this is just the responses I got from that survey. And I can absolutely assure you that one of the questions we asked on the survey was, what does your workplace put in place for you? What is provided or offered for you within the workplace? And honestly, it was practically zero. There were a few. There was one teacher who said that the school that he worked at, they did a special kind of meetup for the staff. But it was on a Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock, where they offered kind of cake, but everyone wanted to go home at 4 o'clock on Friday. So that didn't work. Several people I remember across all of the little niches we spoke to said that there was technically some kind of helpline in place, or some kind of number they could call or email they could approach, but they weren't sure what it would mean if they did it. It didn't feel safe to even do that. They didn't know if it would be confidential. They didn't know what it might mean to even follow it up. So the end result of it was actually practically nothing. And then, so that's at the one side. And then the only other experience that I have had of this personally is my own, you know, I've got four kids, and a couple of them are, you know, doing jobs to earn some money. So literally just sort of cafes and zero hour contract type jobs to earn some money. And honestly, you would not believe the stuff they tell me. I mean, you wouldn't believe it. Even
Oh, well, I
just
would because I've
maybe
got
you
two
would.
work.
Yeah,
Yeah, no, I've got
exactly.
working
Okay.
children
Well,
myself
there you
now,
go then.
so
So,
I.
I mean, one of our, we as a family, we can laugh about it, but even just to log in to one of the workplace apps, that all of the staff see, I mean, in all seriousness, that's not good leadership, seriously.
No.
So am I right? Is
Yeah, you're
everything a
completely
mess? Or,
right. Yeah, no,
oh
I've got
dear,
working.
I thought you were going to tell me, no, everything's changing.
No, I've got kids who work and a husband who works in a school, and obviously through my students as well, who some of them work in HR or in another, corporate environments. Yeah, this is really common, and it's like what. I think it all comes down to what is your definition of wellness or well-being, and it's not having a helpline because there's still stigma attached to talking in a mental health capacity. For me, wellness is all about holism. It's all about the joining the dots between mind, body, and spirit, and enabling people to feel safe to have these discussions. And then also this idea that wellness is about adaptability to a situation. So if you can adapt in a new environment and function well, you are well and you are safe. If you feel like you're not adapting to an environment, then you're really not well in that moment. So there's a lot there, and I don't think my definition or my understanding from this sort of holistic viewpoint is the same as other people. So there's this jarring really that goes on.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell us a bit about we've spoken a bit about resilience, but tell us about the trauma-informed window of tolerance. I saw that you'd written a post about this, and I thought this
Yes,
was really
yeah,
interesting.
this is an interesting model. It's really about making people aware of what they can and can't tolerate within the workplace. Now, trauma-informed is a very current phrase that a lot of people are using, but essentially it's acknowledging that a lot of people have had trauma in their past. I think there are some statistics, and I can't remember them off the top of my head, Janie, but something like 70% of people have experienced trauma.
Well, whether that's with a big T or a little T, it's still
Yeah,
trauma, right?
exactly. And so what this means is that if we're working or working with people, we need to be mindful of what they are going through or what they have been through, whether that trauma is something that we might say is lesser than maybe like a relationship breakup, or maybe it's something major like some kind of abuse or neglect within the past. Trauma is on this scale is huge. So what we need to do, and what the window of tolerance shows is that in the workplace, we need to have supportive practices, and that may be something like allowing employees to remain grounded and centered in what they're doing. So bringing things like meditation or yoga into the workplace, or allowing them time or space to do that. It may be having safe spaces for them within the environment, so when you can take breaks, learning when they can decompress and return to their environment, giving them time out, which is a great idea. But the reality is, if you're on shift work or you're working in a school, obviously you've got to fit around a very structured day. So
Yeah, it's
how
very
can an
hard, isn't it?
employer build that in? And then again, thinking about training and supporting staff to help them grow, help them evolve as human beings as well as employees. And then encouraging open communication, so that they can really talk about how they're feeling, not just rubbing it off and just sort of saying, yeah, I'm fine, I'm fine. So the window of tolerance really, as a model, allows you to think about what can I tolerate, what can I not tolerate, and then if something is not being tolerated, it can then be triggering for people. So then they become triggered by words used by somebody who's maybe their superior or a colleague, and then that can really make trauma sort of more apparent within them. So it's quite an interesting one to sort of look at in more depth.
Yeah, it is. It is.
The station that makes you feel good.
Delightful news, air travelers. Going in and out of airports without getting sick can be challenging. Time to take charge of the air you breathe with Nasal Guard. Nasal Guard topical gel defends by blocking harmful airborne particles and viruses. Try Nasal Guard for air travelers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about Nasal Guard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
I think what's interesting about all of this is that, you know, there is a fine line, isn't there, between having, you know, this all of this support and awareness in place and personal responsibility. Because, you know, ultimately, it's also difficult for small businesses, you know, isn't it? It's very difficult if you've got a small business and they've got a small number of staff and you know, as you say, they're really busy. It's very difficult for them if they've got someone who's, you know, constantly kind of disappearing off because they need time out when they've got a shop full of customers or whatever. Yeah, so, you know, we have to see this from both sides. And there is a sense of personal responsibility as well, I think. So, I mean, just explain for us, for anyone who doesn't, you know, maybe hasn't even thought about it, how would you describe coaching? What is coaching? And obviously it differs greatly from therapy and counselling.
Well, yes, and a lot of people don't understand the difference. So coaching for me is about moving forwards. And you can sum it up in three words, you know, moving yourself forward. If you sit down with somebody and they are there helping you where you are now to moving you forward, that is a form of coaching, wanting to get you from where you are to a better place. Counseling or therapy is usually talking about the past and what's affecting your now, but it's going over the past and going over old states, and coaching is moving you forward. Now there's this huge crossover between coaching and counseling, because sometimes in order to move forwards we need to revisit the past or look in much more depth at the present state, so that there is this sort of an Venn diagram. There would be this big area in the middle, and then when we think about like trauma, like, you know, we're talking about the window of tolerance, sometimes when we want to move forwards we need to recognize those feelings that we have now. So maybe we are feeling anxious right now or reactive or withdrawn, and those are very trauma response kind of emotions. But if we're moving us forwards, okay, how can we acknowledge that, how can we deal with that, and how can we move you forwards? And then a coach would look at various tools or techniques in order to move their client forward.
So, you know, typically, certainly back in the day, you know, within workplaces, you might have you know, human resources or whatever who are, I don't know, maybe their role would be to recommend counselling or even pay for counselling for their clients. What happens now, or what would you like to see happen? Because this is, as you say, much more future focused.
Yeah, well, there are some great organisations out there who are providing therapists and counsellors for the workplace. You know, we have a good partnership with one organisation that does that. But What would I like? Well, what I'd like to see is I'd like to see every business having a well-being lead that enables people to be coaching. Because I think ultimately, if you've got tasks, if you've got colleagues who are feeling safe, feeling that they want to move forwards, they are going to move your business forwards as well.
Absolutely.
So it's a case of, if you look after your team, they will then reward your workplace with better performance, meeting targets, coming up with ideas, being motivated, you know, being enjoying their role. Whereas if you don't have that environment, or you don't have that space for them to talk about things, then they're not going to do that. So I believe having you know, a well-being lead who is a trained coach would be a great asset to any business. I also think, you know, having links with counsellors and other forms of complementary and alternative health therapists would be awesome, because of that mind-body connection, rather than people, you know, suppressing things with you know, or you know, dealing with it that way. So yeah, creating that space to talk and really having ownership of how you're feeling and feeling safe to say, this is how I am, I need to do something about it, how are you going to support me?
Yeah, I love that. So just remind us of the kind of courses you offer then, because there's quite a range of things that are on offer, aren't there?
Yeah, so we offer at Wellness Professionals at Work, we offer certificates and diploma in coaching skills. So we have three types of diplomas that we offer. One is a fast track, and that diploma is great for anybody who wants to get a coaching qualification really quickly. It's a 6-month course that students do in their own time, and they do as blended learning in terms of study modules at home and then workshop with us online, and then they do case studies. And then we have some other qualifications, advanced or an integrated diploma, which have more modules that students study in their own time, and then a higher number of workshops and a higher number of case studies. But you know, all our courses are accredited by the Association for Coaching, and you know, we really value them as an accrediting body. They've got amazing standards that we reach, and they're very supportive in terms of professional development for anyone who goes into coaching.
So you know, for someone who is perhaps not necessarily a manager, but they, you know, they want to make a difference in the workplace, it would do them no harm to do a diploma in coaching, because
absolutely not.
You know, the
no.
skills are very transferable, aren't they, for all kinds of things?
Yeah, and we've had lots and lots of students come through us within the last 20 years. But, you know, even if you're just doing it for your own personal self-development, not only is that going to impact you and then your family and have this wonderful ripple effect, but it's also going to impact those that you come in contact with on a day-to-day basis. So I'd say, you know, everyone should do coaching, because it does change your life. And
yeah.
And so many people are on a journey of self-discovery, whether that be spiritual awakening or more sort of taking personal responsibility for their own evolution as a human being. And I know that I found coaching skills just brilliant for me in terms of taking responsibility, looking at myself and holding myself responsible and accountable for what goes on in my own personal life, rather than fielding out to other people and then getting angry with other people when they didn't meet my high expectations.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It does. It absolutely helps you take back responsibility.
Yeah.
Totally. And, you know, as we say, I mean, it would be a very different world, wouldn't it? If all, pretty much all companies and all workplaces had this kind of thing in place, it would be very different.
Yeah,
it really would. Because when people are feel heard and valued, they want to stay at a role, exactly as you said. Whereas, you know, the places I mentioned, and I guess the same with you, with your kids, they've got the highest turnover of staff ever. Well, of course they have. Now, who's going to want to stay in that environment?
Yeah, I think everyone wants to be heard, don't they? Everyone wants to be heard. Everyone wants to know that they're valued as a human being. And, you know, even if the ideas that we have are not valued, you know, not met with the same level of enthusiasm, that they're not being discredited.
Yeah, totally that. Well, it's fantastic to see the stuff you're doing, Jo. Do you want to just give us the website, and we'll make sure all of that goes online?
Yeah,
as well.
So the website is wellnessprofessionalsatwork.com.
Brilliant. Thank you, Jo. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Janie.
You've been listening to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show on UK Health Radio.